Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, One minute. And hello again. Welcome to Ron Siegel Radio. This is the show with no real boundaries. As we discuss current events, financial markets, politics, sports, even poking fun at the rest of the media, this is the show that connects the dots of confusion delivered by conflicting media reports. We connect the dots so you know the actions you can take, how your family, your business can benefit from current events. Most of all, thank you for joining me. Within every market, there are solutions, as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message, and I will be delivering it every day on radio or anytime at 800-306-1990. very focused show. We only chat about items affecting your bank account and the roof over your head, or anything I feel would benefit you. And let me remind you, if you have any home or finance related questions, I am the consumer advocate looking out for you. And you can reach out to me directly at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Just remember, that's the number you call anytime for assistance. When you call that number, it comes directly to me first. There are no operators standing by. I am it.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
While I do have a great team, when it comes to developing a financing plan or plan to save you money, I personally work for you. Even if you don't have any needs today, save this number in your phone for future reference, 800-306-1990, 306-1990. One of my favorite days of the year. We are there. It is. Drum roll, please. National Chocolate Day. Yaza, International Chocolate Day, I should say. Just a few facts for you. Five fast facts about the world's favorite confection. The cacao tree's official scientific name is Theobroma. Theobroma cacao. Don't ask me why we even want to know that. Aztecs used chocolate as an aphrodisiac. Okay. During the Revolutionary War, soldiers were paid in chocolate at times. Yeah, I like that one. That sounds pretty interesting. The average cocoa pod has 40 beans. It takes 1,000 beans to make 2 pounds of chocolate. And something that every one of us needs to know, Hershey's started in 1886 after Milton Hershey had two previous failed candy companies. First product released was cocoa in 1800. Hershey started mass-producing milk, chocolate, taking out of the clutches of the wealthy and making it affordable to all. I like milk chocolate. I'm a milk chocolate kind of guy. The dark chocolate, yeah, unless I'm doing it with a little bit of port wine, not a big fan of that one. Milk chocolate, that's where I kind of hang out a little bit more than other places. The economics. Yeah, economics. We're looking at the market right now. The Dow is down a little bit. Oil down about 2.5%. 10-year Treasury is up just a tad, just a little bit. ADP came out and says 172,000 people were added to private sector payrolls in June. That means they worked for 1 hour and got paid. That's the minimum qualification for new jobs. We'll get the government report. I believe that comes out tomorrow. So the 172,000 new jobs, 159,000 was the estimate. ADP overstated their numbers in May by 5,000. And here's where the fun of all the government numbers comes out. You just can't make this stuff up. The week jobless claims, 254,000 people filed for unemployment last week. First time unemployment, 254,000 last week. A little bit better than expected, a little bit better than prior months. But when we hear the administration and our government telling us that there's so many months of new jobs being created, yes, there were 172,000 new jobs created for the month of June, but last week alone had 254,000 people filing unemployment for the first time. A little bit of a disconnect there. So technically, they're correct. We created new jobs, but net effect was not good for the economy, not good for our society.
So I know who's asked to kick.
That's right, Mr. President. Get on that, please, if you would. The low mortgage rates. I sent out an update to our subscribers at Ron Siegel Radio last night, talking about the idea of what's going on in the mortgage market. I was chatting a little bit about the issue of mortgage rates continuing to fall, and we did get the Freddie Mac number. They came out again. I sent this out yesterday, but the Freddie Mac numbers came out this morning. 3.41% Freddie Mac's average rate on their Freddie Mac survey, costing the consumer half a point. Now, last year, same time, 4.04. That was July 7th. This year, July 9th, last year. So basically, same date 1 year ago, 4.04. Now we're at 3.41 and heading lower. Yes, I have been sharing with you that I anticipate the United States 10-year Treasury dropping to 1.2 in the not-distant future. We are at 1.378, 1.38 as I'm speaking to you. That means the home loan rate should continue to drop. And one of the points that I made in the memo last night was the idea that all the different opportunities you have. I highlighted on there that there was the current FHA rate, 3.25%, 3.41 APR, 3.25 30-year fixed rate loan, 3.41 APR. That's without any of the fancy goofiness that you will hear about on some weekend radio programs where they talk about the idea that you can get a 1% discount the first year. Well, a lot of those programs that they talk about there, it's if you've got a 40% down payment. I'm talking about straight old FHA, 3.5% as your down payment, and you can get that 3.25 30-year fixed rate, maybe. 3.41 is, again, the APR on that. So the other idea there is that's just a starting point. That's the rate that gets you into the game. And I'm not saying that getting into the game should be your ending point on the game. My thought there is that your starting point for the game of owning real estate is just that, your starting point. The idea is we want you to get in there, get the program, get the loan that you want, get the loan that makes sense for you, that you qualify for, but you need to have an advisor for life. And that's one of the big components that I talk about all the time, is a advisor for life. That's why I suggest you reach out on a regular basis to our area trusted professionals, your household board of directors. Because when you get that FHA loan, you buy that house, again, if you're using that 3.25% 30-year fixed rate, APR 3.41, you're looking at a starting point. Once you get 20% equity, you get rid of the mortgage insurance. If you have 10% equity, that means your property is appreciated from where you bought it, or you bought it at such a good price that if the appraised value now is higher than where it was then, you either eliminate the mortgage insurance, you reduce the mortgage insurance, or maybe you look into a lender-paid mortgage insurance. All of those are options that you can look into when you're dealing with a mortgage professional, because most of these things, many of these things, here's the issue, many of these items you don't follow on a day-to-day basis. That's not your job. It's not your method. You don't have the time, I would suggest, or the desire to go and research. All the stuff that I tell you about is all on Google. And in fact, almost anything we do is on Google. Whatever you do in your career, we could probably find out how to do it on Google as well. That doesn't mean you're going to understand the idiosyncrasies, the odds, the odd parts, the areas where you can possibly save money. I look at the idea when we talk about this 30-year fixed-rate loan right now at 3.41% is the Freddie Mac rate. You may or may not qualify for that. But again, that's a 30-year fixed rate Freddie Mac rate that was announced this morning. I look at that as being something that I check on a regular basis, but you probably don't. You probably don't even know the website to go to get it. The news won't even be reporting it till later today. But my idea here is when you're chatting with professionals, if you can save $100 a month and it doesn't cost you a whole lot of money to get that, say it costs you $1,200 or $1,500 to save $100 a month for the next 30 years. Do you see where the difference is? Do you see where the benefit is for you? $1,200, do the math, times $1,200 a year times 30 years, that's $36,000, I believe. Does it make sense to spend a little bit of your time to work on that? We're going to chat more about that this morning. You're listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate current events and the financial markets. Is it time to put your house on the market right now? We'll talk about it. Did you know that 40% of the people that have student loans, when they put them on their bankruptcy, they get discharged? think that's the number. We're going to talk about that a little bit. How you, the Brunner test, I think it's called. You got to understand that. Money making and planning mistakes for parents of special needs. We're going to chat about that as well. You can reach us anytime. Our off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/ronsiegelradio, on Twitter, @ronsiegel. And if you miss any part of our broadcast, Ron Siegel on YouTube. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few. Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. With every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message, and as your consumer advocate, I will be delivering it every day on Ron's Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, the real-time real estate segment today being brought to you by the area trusted real estate professionals of Ron Siegel Radio. Text PEAR, P-E-A-R, to 79564, P-E-A-R to 79564, where the real estate professionals will reach out to you. Is now the right time to put your house on the market or not? Last week, the National Association of Realtors released their pending home sales index, a forward-looking indicator of home sales based on contract signing. The report revealed that this May's numbers weren't quite as good as the year before. Quote, with last month's decline, the index reading is still the third highest in the past year, but declined year over year for the first time since August 2014, unquote. Mainstream media ran headlines highlighting that the index had dropped for the first time in 2 years. Many read this as an indication that the housing market must be slowing down. Thinking that now may be the perfect time to put your house on the market, these reports may have caused some concern, and we want to alleviate that concern right here, right now. Though it is true that the index dropped in last month's report, if we look closer at numbers, I'm going to post this graph right there, Ron Siegel Radio today, the index since January 2014, we see that the index has increased every month over the last 18 months leading up to this past May. So we're still looking at some good numbers. Lawrence Yoon, chief economist at NAR, National Association of Realtors, explained that it wasn't a slowing of the market that caused the index to slip, but a lack of housing inventory. Total housing inventory at the end of each month has remarkably declined year over year now for the entire year, and there are simply not enough homes coming onto the market to catch up demand. Again, there's a graph of this right there showing the housing supply year over year for the last 12 months. We're down in the month of May, down 9.6% in supply amount of listings. So did the latest numbers from the pending home sales index cause you to question if now is a good time to put your house on the market? If anything, it indicated the exact, and now might be a great time for you to sell if that's in your family plans. And I'm going to share with you, I do it all the time, and I'm not going to stop today. Give me a call, 800-306-1990, put you in touch with somebody that can be a great value, a great asset to you. Any market that you're in throughout the listening audience that we've got, if you're listening to Ron's Radio, the chances are extremely high that I know a great real estate agent in your neighborhood, and I can guarantee that, I shouldn't guarantee, but the likelihood is if I don't know somebody in your neighborhood, there's probably one person away from me that does know it. Because when I communicate so much in so many areas, it's amazing how you just end up having some great resources all over. That's the real-time real estate segment. Actually, resources all over the country. But that's the real-time real estate segment, again, brought to you by the area-trusted real estate professionals of Ron Siegel Radio. Text PEAR, P-E-A-R, to 7-5-4. So before the break, we were talking about mortgage rates and that Freddie Mac rate. And you know, I don't like to talk about mortgages a lot on the broadcast just because unless you're in the market, I find mortgages to be pretty boring. When somebody needs a mortgage, then it's top of mind. And there are times like we are in right now that people should be top of mind with their mortgage just because the market demands it. perfect example. A couple weeks ago, we saw that the stock market was down about 1,000 points in 2 days. And a very good friend of mine, he's a financial advisor, done so for many, many years, spent a lot of time on the phone calling his clients, small clients, large clients, every client. He was calling them to let them know, don't feed the market. These things happen. And I know a couple of his clients who are mutual clients, they really appreciated the fact that they're not his biggest client, and he took the time out of his schedule to call them. And he said, it's just part of the job. That's what we do. Well, on the same note, a lot of times mortgage people, they don't get the same level of credibility that a financial planner does, a CPA does, that an attorney does. Yet I wonder why. Well, maybe it's because of the media and the publicity in media, but maybe it also has to do with the fact that people buy a house and they don't plan on moving, so they get a mortgage and they just forget it. And I wonder why they forget it. I wonder why is it that you can take out a loan for $300,000, $400,000, $500,000, more or less, doesn't matter, and you forget about doing anything with it. And when there's an opportunity where rates are so, so low right now, and they've dropped so much from where they've been, people will look and they say, well, I don't need to worry about it. I'm making my payment. I'm happy with the payment. I can afford the payment. So why should I change? And it goes back to the days, and I'm an old financial planner, old in many ways. But I go back and look and say, okay, if that's the case, why are we not doing different changes? Why are we not focused? If you can save $100, $36,000 over the life of the loan, doesn't it make sense? And that's just for $100 a month. $200 a month, you're talking about $72,000 over the life of your loan. What does that mean? And if I had focused on this ahead of time, sometimes I get off on a rabbit trail when I come into the studio and chat with you. But if I had thought about this, you can say, okay, what does $100 a month or $200 a month over the next 30 years, what does that mean for your retirement? Does it mean you can retire a couple years earlier? Does it mean you can buy a nicer car, go on a nicer vacation, private school instead of public school if that's your desire? Maybe there's a nonprofit organization that you really, really like. These are all things that can be done as far as a budget. We're going to talk today about money-making mistakes of parents of special needs. If you've got a special needs child, grandchild, niece, nephew, take that $100 a month that you can save on your mortgage and give that to them, put it into a special needs trust. These are all issues that are there. How about if you took out, and I think this is a wise decision, those people that do a 7-year straight loan to adjustable, but it's fixed for 7 years, re-up that number. So you've got another 7 years at these near historic lows on interest rates. That's called planning. And like I said to you before in the last segment, I believe interest rates are going to continue to drop. When they continue to drop, what do you do about it? What does your family do? Well, you have an option, and I'm going to share with you because, right, I'm looking at a chart that came from Freddie Mac. And Freddie Mac says that their summarized rates for 2015, 30-year fixed rate, 3.9%. They're looking at for the 2016, their projections are the same. Their projections for 2017, at 30-year fixed rate, Freddie Mac, they're projecting 4.5%. They've been projecting that for a while. So I'm not going to say that, hey, you know something, you got to act right now because the rates are going to go up. I'm sharing with you that's Freddie Mac's assessment that they're going to go up. Freddie Mac is also saying that home sales are going to continue to rise. Home price growth is going to continue. The pricing is going to continue, or the value of your home is going to continue to grow. So with all that being said, here's the issue. If you refinance your loan today or this week, whatever your plan is, and interest rates go up, you're golden. You've taken action. You've saved your family money. even look at this. I mean, I'm talking about right here. The 30-year fixed rate Freddie Mac, 3.41. What if you rolled a car payment into that? Think about that. I'm not into the car, the idea of doing it with cars. But what if you have a car loan and you're paying 4.9, 5.9, 9.9, I don't know, whatever your interest rate is. You roll it into the home loan, pay a little extra money there so that you bring that payment, so you're not making the payment over an extended period of time, or start making an identical car payment into a separate account, a savings account, so that when you go and buy your next car, you do it for cash and save money, because home loans in most instances are tax deductible. Car loans are not tax deductible in most instances. Again, consult with your financial planner, your tax attorney, CPA. But those are the ideas that we're trying to throw at you from a planning standpoint, because you are listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate, current events, and the financial markets. When we come back, yes, you can get rid of student loans through bankruptcy. We'll chat about how. We're going to also talk about some money-making mistakes and planning ideas for parents of special needs children or families of special needs children. You can reach me anytime. Call the off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/ronsiegelradio, on Twitter @ronsiegel. Stay tuned. We will be back in just a few. Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trust guidance. That's my message. And as your consumer advocate, I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The Your Credit Matters segment today being brought to you by CreditSanitizer.com. You have a credit report. It is wrong. Credit Sanitizer has the solutions for you. You just need to visit their site. They'll get it to you. It's pretty basic stuff, but everybody needs to be aware of it. Everyone needs to be looking at it. So the commentary this morning, and it's one that is frequently questioned, the idea of getting rid of student loans through bankruptcy and the belief that student loans are never dischargeable in bankruptcy is just not true. People want you to believe that. The government wants you to believe that. Student loans can be discharged in some cases. According to a study published in 2011, and this was by the Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs at Princeton University, at least 40% of borrowers who include their student loans in their bankruptcy filing end up with some or all of their student loan debt discharged. 40% of the borrowers who include student loans in their bankruptcy, in the bankruptcy filing, ended up with some or all of the student loans discharged. Problem that only about 0.1% of the consumers with student loans try to include them in the bankruptcy. So basically, when people say that they don't get discharged, well, it's because nobody tries. And I'm not advocating for shirking your legal responsibility, although I did listen to the presidential candidate for the Green Party this morning, and she's saying that student loan debt should just be eliminated or wiped off. So you take out a loan, and the presidential candidate there is saying we should just wipe it out, and we don't need to repay it at all.
This is ridiculous.
Pretty crazy. You wonder how you just say, okay, we got $1 trillion in debt, we're just going to dump it off the books. Doesn't matter. But I digress. So the question is bankruptcy your best option? And I highly recommend you consult one of the bankruptcy attorneys that are part of our area trusted professionals before you go. Don't try and do this on your own, people. Do you pass the issue that they look at to see if you're going to qualify for partial discharge is the Bruner test. And the Bruner test basically asks a few different questions. And if you have the appropriate answers for them, is they will look at the court will look at eliminating that debt. So first off, can the borrower sustain a minimum standard of living while continuing to pay the student loan? Second, will the borrower's financial situation improve in the future? And third, has the borrower made a good faith effort to pay his or her loans? That's basically the Bruner test. And basically, the law was very, very very, very ambiguous with their wording of discharge of student loan debt in bankruptcy. But they basically say it's undue hardship. Bankruptcy law, here's, now let me quote it so I get it right for you. Bankruptcy law currently exempts education loans and from discharge unless not doing so would cause the consumer undue hardship. The problem is they don't define undue hardship. So when they don't define that, then you have to wonder, okay, what does that mean? And deal with it from there. So once that's been done, then the next step is if bankruptcy is the right solution for you, if that's where you need to go, you need to make sure dealing with your credit thereafter, make sure the bankruptcy is reported correctly. Many, many times bankruptcies are not reported directly. Start establishing a positive payment history. Payment history is generally the most important factor among credit scoring models. Get the bankruptcy, remove your credit report as soon as it's eligible for deletion, and that's generally going to be the 7 to 10 year mark. Just depends on what your scenario is, but that is the Your Credit Matters segment. Again, brought to you by CreditSanitizer.com. So I shared with you earlier that I wanted to chat a little bit about some planning ideas. And some of the planning that we want to talk about is that for parents, families of special needs people. And there are some money mistakes that people are making when they're dealing with the planning needs here of special needs kids. Money. So first off, one of the mistakes, understand this, disinheriting the child. Now, I understand the reasoning here. There are, as adults, children with special needs typically rely on a means-tested federal programs like supplemental security income. So it's kind of a Social Security and Medicaid to help pay for their basic needs, such as food and shelter. A means-tested program is one in which eligibility is based on potential recipients' financial resources. Therefore, to ensure that their special needs child will be eligible to participate in these programs, parents sometimes are advised to disinherit the child. And I'm going to suggest to you that's probably not your best option. Maybe you want to go with a special needs trust. And that trust lets parents leave special needs child an inheritance without jeopardizing the child's eligibility for further benefits. Key component right there. So you want to make sure that you are looking at that idea. Again, you've got to talk to an attorney and a financial planner and accountant who understands that process. The second item, do not procrastinate. We do not know when we might pass, we might get hit by a bus, we might become incapacitated. So it's essential that we plan our estate sooner rather than later. And ignoring this can have a very significant negative consequence for the people we leave behind, including minor children, especially minors with needs. I've known some folks that did not go and take care of these items because they thought that they had more than enough money to deal with it on their own. And when they went and waited and didn't deal with it, well, all of a sudden they've got a problem because maybe they don't qualify or the minor or the child doesn't qualify at a later date. Not making your planning a team effort is the next one of the mistakes. Estate planning for special needs children is complex. So you've got to deal with your household board of directors when it comes to planning for special needs kids. You've got to deal with the CPA. You've got to deal with the attorney. You've got to deal with the financial planner. All folks that have special needs backgrounds. So they've got experience in this specific discipline. Not everybody understands them. Ignoring the particular needs of a special needs child is the next mistake. Planning that is not designed to meet the special needs of a special needs child will probably make that child ineligible for essential government benefits. A properly designed special needs trust promotes the comfort and happiness of a special needs child without sacrificing his or her eligibility for the benefits. You got to deal with medical benefits, dental expenses. Again, if you've had some success in life, you don't want to disinherit your child, the special needs child, so that they get the most minimal of benefits, which is what they're going to get through these special needs services. Including a payback provision in the trust. Frequent mistake occurs when a special needs trust includes a payback provision. The payback clause provides that any money remaining in the trust when the beneficiary dies is paid to the government or state where the beneficiary is living rather than to the family. Although the payback provision is necessary in certain types of special needs trusts, the attorneys can ensure that the money left goes to the family, not the estate. That's the idea. Is we want to, again, you got to deal with the right people to get you this information. I know it sounds complex. It is complex. And I'm not going to give you all the answers because I don't even know all the answers to these issues. What I'm giving you is the same as I do on a regular basis, is I want to give you the questions. I want you to know what you need to talk to, who you need to talk to, about getting these things done the right way for your family. When you do that type of a thing, when you do it the right way, when you, again, and here's the beauty of it. I'll introduce you to all these people for free. Text ATP to 79564. ATP to 79564 will introduce you to the people that will help you with putting these together and get it done for you the right way. Now, obviously, they are in this for a business. They do it for business. They charge, but I'm going to save you a lot of time by introducing you to the right people so that you can go and meet with those folks and consult, see what your unique circumstances are and what's for the benefit of your child. Again, text ATP 79564. We'll put you in touch with the right people. And again, you just do that and it doesn't cost you anything at all. You are listening to Ron Siegel Radio, discussing your real estate, current events, and the financial markets. When we come back, planning mistakes. We talked about the money mistakes, but now we're going to talk about planning mistakes you can avoid if you have a special needs child. We'll talk about that when we come back. You can reach me anytime, off-air number, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. Connect with us, facebook.com/ronsiegelradio. On Twitter, at Ron Siegel. Stay tuned. We will be back in just a few. Welcome back to Ron Siegel Radio. Within every market, there are solutions as well as tremendous opportunities. You just need some trusted guidance. That's my message, and as your consumer advocate, I will be delivering it every day on Ron Siegel Radio or anytime at 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990. The Word on Wealth segment today being brought to you by the area trusted professionals of Ron Siegel Radio. Text ATP to 79564. That's your household board of directors. Just fill out the survey. When you go to that, when you text that ATP to 79564, or you go to MBE links, Mary Boy Edward Links, plural.com/ATP, you're going to get a link right there to a survey. You need to complete that survey, and we will introduce you to the people that you need to know as part of your household board of directors. And we're chatting this morning about planning mistakes you can avoid if you have a special needs child. Obviously, we would have some folks there that'll help with special needs issues on the household board of directors. So we talked about a few of these needs just a minute ago in the last segment. We were talking about some money-making mistakes. And we talked about the idea of, number one, these are mistakes, disinheriting the child, donating, not making your planning a team effort, ignoring a particular needs of a special needs child, including the payback provision, not getting professional guidance. All of those are errors that some folks will make. So let's continue on with the estate planning and some of the mistakes that we see in estate planning. Again, you need to talk with a great estate planning attorney to deal with many of these issues. And again, we can put you in touch with some of those folks that understand these things very, very well. Not properly funding and maintaining the plan. It's amazing. I hear so many times people create a trust, and this is a general trust, you know, a living trust or in a special needs trust. It's amazing how many people will create these trusts and then they don't fund them properly. They don't maintain them properly. You've got to fund the trust. And what that means is putting the determined or the planned assets right into the trust. It might mean retitling an asset, retitling account, retitling or changing the beneficiary of a life insurance policy. All of these issues go into it. Parents can name as beneficiary of a policy a special needs trust, which could be set up through their will or their revocable living trust, knowing that the policy will secure the financial future of their special needs child. Obviously, mom and dad can feel comfortable leaving the rest of their estate to other children. Think about that. You look at, and again, this is all done from the planning standpoint, is buying a life insurance policy that funds the special needs trust. If the state's large enough, estate taxes could be a concern. For 2016, this means that a married couple's estate is worth more than $10,900,000. Single parents need to worry about estate taxes if their estate is worth more than $5.4 million, roughly. Again, I'm not going to give you all the specifics. I want you to talk to the professionals about this. The trust should have special needs provisions inside of it. Should also be the policy beneficiary. Parents who want to set up an insurance life insurance trust. It's an irrevocable life insurance trust. Again, get an experienced estate planning attorney. It's not a simple matter of going to one of the online services and just doing your paperwork. Another planning process, choosing the wrong trustee. Special needs trusts are complex. So when the parents set up one, it's generally a bad idea to designate a family member or close friend as its trustee. After all, most family members and friends are not experts on this kind of trust. So if they are serving as its trustee, they could risk making a costly mistake. Just an example, family member or friend trustee might make mistakes when distributing money from the trust on behalf of a special needs child, and as a result, disqualify the child from being able to receive government benefits just by having the wrong person do it. Sometimes you save a little and it costs you a lot. Hire a professional trustee, a bank or trust company, who understands the confusing, changing, varying rules of the trusts. The siblings or friends or other family members, they probably don't keep up on these things like you might. Failing to invite contributions from others to the trust. Think about that. Maybe grandma and grandpa want to put some money into the trust to help the special needs individual. It's totally doable. You just have to, again, understand how it works. The next mistake, relying on siblings to use their own money to care for a special needs brother or sister. And I know that in many instances, the siblings want to do it. They want to take care of their brother or sister, but is it their responsibility? Maybe once they get married, think about this. They get married and a spouse has a different set of needs. Maybe they have their own kids that have needs. Maybe something happens to the sibling. You just have to really, you're doing all the thinking for future generations, so you've got to really understand it. creating a special needs trust in a will rather than using a revocable living trusts. Wills, as well as trusts established through a will, including special needs trusts, are part of the public record, which means that anyone can find out their details. Further, it's increasingly common for wills to be posted on the internet, which puts vulnerable beneficiaries, such as someone with special needs, at a greater risk of being harmed by financial predators. Be careful. Not keeping an estate plan up to date. This goes for any estate plan, special needs or a non-special needs. Keep those up to date. You got to, again, watch out for all of those. There's legal changes. If you created a will and trust or will or trust back in the 80s or 90s, the laws have changed drastically since those time periods. And again, I'm going to suggest to you, make an appointment, consult with one of the area trusted professionals of Ron's Radio or the person who created that for you way back when, and make sure that, you know, you've got everything current. There might be other advantages for you. There might be other things that the laws have changed. All of these issues are going on. You need to just understand that you need to be keeping current on everything that's happening. That's the word on wealth. Someone to know is a longer than we normally do. The area trust professionals, Ron Siegel Radio, text ATP to 79564. You hear a lot about this now of Asperger's syndrome and all of these different ADHD. I forgot the other names of some of the special needs, but we're hearing about them a lot. And I just wanted to spend a little bit of time here chatting with you about these issues, just because there are big benefits for you. And I want you, you know, the kids need somebody to look out for them. And that was just the reason I felt it was important. Came across these articles, and then with my own experience, wanted to share this information with you as we chat right now. And again, I want to spend just a couple minutes here as we wind down our podcast today. Think about this. The low mortgage rates, they're still out there. Freddie Mac shared this information with us. And I want you to really be on the lookout. Again, if you have a mortgage professional, your mortgage professional calling you, the team will put together, as a free service, we do this, called Adopt a Mortgage. There's a lot of people over the last 8 to 10 years got out of the mortgage business completely. And one of the reasons is a lot of regulation in it. A lot of people don't want to get involved in it. And I have a friend of mine that did a lot of loans. And he basically said, "Honey, you know something, I'm going to get out of this just because I do not have the desire to go through all the testing, the requirements that are involved." And I said, "I get it." And there's probably about 400,000 or 500,000 people have done the same thing. There was a lot of people who were in the lending business, and when all the regulations came to play, they got out of it. And I said, you know something, maybe as part of our radio broadcast, what we set up this program called Adopt a Mortgage. And it's not we're looking to sell you anything. It's basically you send your mortgage statement. There's really nothing in a mortgage statement that's the public information already. It's part of the public record. So send a copy of the mortgage statement over. We'll look and send you back a report that says, what is the value of the property? What is the current, maybe you've got the best loan in the world, but where is the current market on loans? Maybe we'll even put in there what the property profile is. Are there liens or things on the property that you may or may not know about? Put all of that together, send it back to you and say, you know something? This just gives you some information, gift from Ron Siegel Radio. Just have at it. Again, Adopt a Mortgage. You need to send a copy with your phone number and email address and a copy of your most recent mortgage statement, and we'll take a look at that for you. Get it back. Absolutely no charge. But we do ask that you set the first radio preset button to come back and join Ron Siegel Radio, where we only speak about items affecting your house and your bank account. Thanks to all of our sponsors, Steve, who's engineering us today, and of course, a special thanks to you for spending a little bit of your day with us. That's all for Ron Siegel Radio. Again, if you have any questions, call me anytime, 800-306-1990, 800-306-1990, or ronsiegelradio.com. If you missed the broadcast, Ron Siegel 1, the numeral 1 on YouTube. And remember, make a lot of money, help a lot of people, have a lot of fun, have a great day. We'll talk to you next time on Ron Siegel Radio.